Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
Sports 2030, an Australian government, I suppose, mega document of full of hard to read things. Not hard to read, but sort of a mishmash of a few letters from various things, a few estimates, a few facts, a few figures, and then a surprise rebranding admissions that Australian sporting prowess is, despite all the fanfare, is slipping, that we're getting fatter, we can't run as fast, and we're betting more illegally and fixing our sports. Going across the AIS was a bit of a surprise. I went back onto the website to actually see it, and it's been subsumed into Sport Oz. Sport Australia's been reduced. Sports Australia's got its logo as Sport Oz, and it's actually got these three brands already subsumed to it. So this is more an afterthought document of where they made the decisions, and now they're walking the minister through it all things. And one of the things I think is the telling things is the pools for public use and for public hire. All the equipment is for hire. There's a sort of exhibition space with the sports simulator, and you can hire that out for cocktail parties, and for an extra price you can have elite athletes come to show your corporate people what's going on. So it's really got a different look and a feel, and that's sort of making the business out of, you know, a business out of things, but sort of strange to look at, and all the various the biggest places can be hired for school formals, and that's what it says. So it's an interesting space to look at. There's online coaching courses. Very interesting to go back and look at it. But we've gone through looking at the demise of AIS, the Australian Institute of Sports. Elite camp, everything's going to happen in the last one on child protection. They had a series of things from different commissions and anti-corruption and anti-sexual abuse commission have put recommendations which they'll consider in fullness of time. And there's all these, the Australian government has agreed to consider working together on optimisation plans, etc. Very long winter. Now we come up to the next stage, which it's new to me, so I find it interesting to understand. So sport's been wired into, I suppose, mission creep, to creep over into health. The general health of the nation is what it's going to look at. And I suppose the entire thing is that if you're looking at waistlines, it's a common thing to say that people should be, it's a very safe thing to say that people should work more. But if you actually look at the triad of things that go on to affect health, you've got workplace bullying, which is sort of really rampant and out of control in the country. Workplace bullying, a sugary diet, and so we really have to change the sugary diets. And I don't know, it's to get things going. Of course, we've now got these high-rise flats. You know, we're now cramming people into very close living quarters. Up, you know, they living high up. 7 stories, 8 stories up in these very quickly built buildings. So there's a big building boom, there's development. So Sydney is just transforming. It's got these high rises going up. They're not particularly what I call adventurous, well-planned civic architecture as far as I can see. So you also have no public transports to the parklands, so people can't get to parklands, so they're just thrown into these houses. And there's certain things like the house design, they have drive things. There's just sort of basic things for lifestyle to look at it overall as an overall health issue, to have health focus, to actually move that way to health focus into sports makes it a rather safe and convenient for your consumer groups, which are lobbying government, you know, the sugar consumer groups. And of course, Australia's moving out of sugar. We've hit peak sugar, as it's, so to speak. So the amount of sugar in food is now decreasing year on year. At least in Australia it is, and overseas they've got sugar taxes. And, yeah, there's different aspects to it. Strengthening Australia's sport industry. A thriving Australian sports and recreation industry with contemporary government structures, world-leading research and innovation, strong economic investment, hosting global events and facilitating Australia's international interests. Well, I wonder what they're going to say, what is a contemporary government structure as opposed to a, you know, it's really interesting because they really need to give you a little history of government structures and say now we're contemporary and this is the impact of it, but I wonder if that will do it. Now, this is page 49. Long-term target. The Australian government will ensure the public sports sector is strong, viable, contemporary, inclusive, with high-quality, successful organisations. Under the strategic priority of strengthening Australia's sports industry, the Australian government will promote and sustain growth through the following actions. This is a little box. Strengthening Australia's sports industry. Now, typically these are things which don't say a lot, but I'll say what it says. Sports industry growth led by industry and supported by the Australian government. A new Australian sports diplomacy strategy. Coordinated delivery of major sporting events. Improve workforce capability, support our athletes and organisations to be the best. Data, evidence and insights to promote how active, sporting and healthy Australians are and could be. Yep, okay, it doesn't necessarily speak logically to me, but I'm looking from outside the industry. If you're inside the industry, that may be just gold. You might say, oh, that's fantastic. Now, here's one of their boxes they have for us. So it's rather interesting when they put things in boxes like this. So this is a case, rather than a case study, this is a case for a stronger Australian sports industry. For Australia to be the world's most active, healthy sporting nation, it needs to have an active, healthy, successful sporting industry that can keep pace with the changing world. Okay, that's left me stunned, that sentence. Australia's sports industry consists of many components, from professional and amateur sports to grassroots. Recreation, participation, sports management and marketing, sports tourism and major sporting events, sporting products, apparel, volunteers and administrators. Sport is big business in Australia. The global sports industry is estimated to be worth between $480 and $620 billion. In Australia, more than $12 billion is spent on sports and sports infrastructure each year, supporting a workforce of more than 220,000 people. Just to get yourself in. So we've got a population of 25. Is that 1% of the population? That's 220,000. That's a fifth of a million. So that's a quarter of a million people. And that's a lot of people. Let me see. Supporting a workforce accounting for 2 to 3% of Australia's GDP, comparable with our tourism industry. The sport and recreation industry, surely they must be double counting some of them for the tourist industry. Sport and recreation industry employs a wide range of Australians with varied qualifications and skill sets, from fitness instructors, running boot camps, pool, coastal lifeguards, sporting event managers to coaches, officials, journalists, commentators, sports scientists and nutritionists. Vocational and tertiary education courses delivered by Australian tertiary institutions have grown and diversified to match the industry they support, from Certificate 1 in Sports Recreation to the Doctor of Philosophy, PhD in Exercise and Sports Science, attracting students from around the world. Graduates use their skills across a full spectrum of sports business, from educating our kids to be physically active to working with global sporting superstars. One of the things I want to say is not so much what the they've got physical literacy, it's just where the people reading this making decisions are financially literate. Yeah. What we need to not know is whether the information is right, but how the information is interpreted, and whether if you said something was 48 billion or 480 billion, I don't think people can really make any comment about it. It's sort of like the literacy and also the impact analysis of different things. And of course, it comes in costs. You know, these people could be doing perhaps different courses. They could actually be doctors or actual research scientists, so there is an opportunity cost. Graduates use their skill across a full spectrum of sport business, from educating kids, okay, again, Australian universities regularly rank in the top three in various international polls relating to sports and exercise science courses. The domestic and international students market drives has demand for 160 undergraduates and 70 postgraduate sports and leisure courses across the 28 universities. Increasing awareness of health benefits of active lifestyle has led to a growing demand for gym memberships and other physical activities, with providers looking to attract and retain new customers with increasing array of affordable and accessible products. Within the broader sport and recreation sector, the fitness industry has grown over the past 5 years. Forecast revenue from the fitness industry is annualized at 7.5% over 5 years through 2017, reaching $2.2 billion. No, that's probably that's $1.5 billion. I have read these figures before in the photonics boom, and you had to, these figures get out of hand. It is an industry providing substantial opportunities for growth in jobs and thus significant contributors to the Australian economy. The direct economic productivity and volunteering benefits from sports create a total economic value of approximately $50 billion a year. So, this is my entire thing is that, really, Australian people are the board of the government. I want to turn things around. And if you want to present this as a board paper, you really need an executive summary and detailed appendices backing up every number that you put in here. That's what I have to do in industry. If I couldn't put up a paper without an executive, I'd be thrown out if I didn't have a half-page executive summary up the front, which is missing from here. I'm not an old man. Well, I am an old man. However, I'm not standing on a soapbox. No one's particularly listening to me, but it's just my thoughts as we're going through. Australian households spends approximately 1% of their household budget on sports and recreation products. 1.5%. A total of $8.2 billion. Total income for sports recreation activities was $12.8 billion, with an operating profit margin of 9.5%. The industry continues to evolve. As CSIRO identified in 2013 in its report on future Australian sport, market forces are likely to influence sports into the future. Okay. In particular, elite athletes from some sports will attain significantly pay rise and sponsorship deals which may not occur in other sports. This in turn will draw athletes away from those sports which are not able to offer the same financial incentives, resulting in a sporting pool available to consumers being diminished. Okay. In addition, CSIRO determines that casually organized community sports organization would be replaced with entities containing more formal government structures in the light of market pressures. Thank you, CSIRO. We are watching more sports more often, sharing the highs and lows of our favourite events, i.e. it's a form of soapy entertainment, and therefore, like soapies, it's fictionalised. The value of TV rights for major sporting events to sell gambling rights is continuing to increase and provides a substantive revenue source for major sporting codes. Okay, so it's like selling the liquor in the clubs afterwards, you know, the sporting events come across. The broadcast rights for AFL, NRL and Aus cricket has exceeded $6 billion over the last rights cycle. And I think the right rights cycle lasts several years, I'd like to know that. At total and regional level, communities are seeking to host national and state-based sporting events generated vital tourism and small business revenue. I should say, one of the least profitable things I have seen is Australian states compete amongst each other for international sporting events. It's just debasing. These local sports events provide a valuable injection of funds to local and regional economies. The Australian Masters game held in Adelaide in 2015 generated $12.6 million impact on the local economy, and Tasmania 2017, it generated an impact of $8.3 million, where they get the numbers out of the air. In 2017, the Kanga Cup football tournament, the largest international youth football tournament in the Southern Hemisphere, generated $5.2 million for the local economy of Canberra. I don't know who is benefiting from that $5.2 million. Events, and that's all gets in thrown in. Events like the Australian Open held in January in Melbourne each year showcases Australian sport on an international stage. The Australian Open event is considered a pinnacle event in world tennis and ensures world-class tennis is available to all in both Australia and across the world. It's also in the dead spot when there's no other events going on. So if you're an athlete and you want to get in, there's a strategy. In 2018, the Australian Open contributed more than $280 million to the economy. Nearly 750,000 people attended the event, with more than 80,000, or 11%, from overseas. 80,000. My only problem is that 10% of 750,000 is 75,000. So that's mathematically impossible. That is mathematically impossible. That's appalling that you can make a maths mistake like that. So obvious. Like, it's in the one sentence. Let me read that sentence to you again. And let me put it down to, rather than saying 750,000 people, let's say 75 people. 75 people attended the event, with more than 8 or 11%. Oh yeah, no, that's okay. That is, okay, I will accept that. So that is 11%. That's correct. Reading across, I just reverse the numbers myself. So that's okay. Scratch what I said. I just went through it. Just my head's not reading it properly. In 2017, the men's single final played between Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal was watched over nearly a billion households across the world and dubbed the most watched tennis match in all time. dubbed it. The sort of historic moments put Australia in the world spotlight can turn and capture the imagination of sporting worlds. Technology in sport is also big business. Some 39% of Australian adult population who participate in sport use some form of technology for sport or physical activity, with 17% using apps to track activity or training, and 14% wearing wearable technologies or heart monitors. Online communities are able to connect people around the world, allowing them to train and compete in groups whenever they want to be active. Innovate Australian-born companies continue to sell activities across the world. It is really this Pokemon Go. They should talk about Pokemon Go, but it was the other one. That's another Google app, caching app. And look, there's so much things to do with tourism, you know, walking tours and stuff like that would be really good. With apps, esports is also providing opportunities and challenges, with the numbers of esport enthusiasts around the world expected to rise to 286 million by 2000. Cicero further identified, quote, you may as well quote Cicero, the sport that Australians play today are a result of cultural evolution over the past two centuries. Okay. The desire to play and watch sport is fundamental to Australian culture, and it's not likely to change in the coming decades. In 2040, Australians will most likely still follow and participate AFL, cricket, rugby, touch football, netball, sailing, soccer, swimming, basketball, lawn bowls, and other sports in large numbers. Okay, that's a statement. Australian government will prioritise undertaking economic study and analysis to the value of sport and how it contributes to the Australian economy, including consideration and redistribution of models to sustain ongoing investment in sport. Well, it's going to prioritise undertaking an economic study. So Humphrey. Long-term changes will Sport 2030 promote to strengthen the Australian sports industry? The first change is the thriving sport industry, I suppose, whatever that means. The Australian government wants to develop an internationally competitive, dynamic and thriving Australian sports sector which is sustainable, innovative and diverse and boosts the economy of the nation for the long term. This would be an industry-led approach supported by stakeholders from the government and university research sectors. Australia has led the world in research, development and innovation, but Australian scientists and researchers need to continue to push the boundaries of what is possible in sport. This is really interesting because there's this thing about reaching a limit of investment. It is vital to ensure that environments continue to be created that allow sports sector to initiate, encourage and facilitate research and development in relation to sport, and undertake research and development related to sports science and sports medicine. Domestically, a vibrant sports culture can transform communities, and examples are emerging around the country using existing strengths of our community, regions and natural environments who want to create a new way of thinking as it relates to the transition from the old economy to the new. Yeah, I can sort of see some great, touristy things. Case study. Blue Mountain Bike Derby Bike Trails, Tasmania. Oh, okay. It should be Blue Derby Mountain Bike Trails rather than Blue Mountain Derby Bike Trails. Blue Derby Mount Trails, BTM, BTB, MTB, is a derby located in the northeast of Tasmania. It was completed in 2014. Since opening, Dorset Council estimates the economic impact of the MTB has been between $15 and $18 million since the establishment of the influx of visitors. The region has increased significantly. Derby has felt the effects um So it should be Derby. Right, I don't understand. So with the MTB growing in popularity, this is a perfect example of how investing in sports and recreation infrastructure can re-engage rural and regional areas with harmonise the community in the process. It also has the ability to stimulate the local economy whilst creating jobs. Small business owners in the areas have also reported a positive impact on local teens and children, explaining there is a sense of pride that they've got it in their town. That's from Buck Gibson, local business owner. International relations. Australia's sports industry is regarded as a key soft power asset in the global stage. Australia's strong and positive reputation supports stronger diplomatic economic ties, helps attract investors and tourism, and gives other nations confidence Australia is a reputable global citizen. Sporting diplomacy is uses the universal passion for sports as a way to bring people together. I think this sport is a diplomacy in which people come up without clubs, to people. Sport opens doors and builds relationships at the highest levels between governments, but it also supports grassroots relationships. The Australian government recognises the power of sports as a soft power tool that can be used to influence our trade, diplomatic and development political objectives. Australia's exceptional track record of sporting success and integrity, as well as our ability to host world-class major events, already helps us enhance our international reputation. Sport reinforces brand Australia, reflecting a, quote, confident and creative and outward-looking nation and a strong economy and abundance of talented people, quote, even though we're fat and slower, helping us reach more people in more countries than traditional channels allow. Absolutely, because we're just so crap at everything else. The Australian government, in partnership with the sports sector, will ensure Australia continues to be seen as a world leader in sports, diplomacy, sporting integrity and hosting major events. We'll use our nation's expertise and reputation for sporting excellence as a vehicle to build greater connections and influence in our region and throughout the world. This is a little box on major sporting events. In 2003, set the standard for international sporting events with the Sydney Olympics. Since then, a succession of high-quality events, including the Commonwealth Games in Melbourne, the Gold Coast, have cemented Australia's reputation as a major event delivery. Fact is that no one else wanted the games as a thing. No one else can host them. Australia's expertise spans across a range of sectors, including event bidding, venue design, construction, event management, marketing and operations. Our event organisers are sought up over the world. I bet they are. The Australian government is promoting Australia as a host of choice for major international sporting events. This includes Australia's government support for the delivery of the Gold Coast 2018 Olympic Games, Commonwealth Games, and planning for the Invictus Games in Sydney in 2018, and the International Cricket Council World 20 Women's and Men's Tournaments in 2020. The Australian government also is committed to funding Rugby Australia, the Women's Rugby World Cup, and also the Football Federation Australia prepared to bid to host. I don't know why we're reading this here. Recognising sports, social, cultural, economic and community benefits are derived from hosting international sporting events, the Australian government wants to enhance our international reputation long into the future. Go team government. How can you possibly get around this? So, what I rather like is this comedian who's doing a football coach for the government, Australian government. Case study. One Netball Pacific Program. The Pacific Sports Partnership, PSP, is Australia's flagship sports for development program, valued at $4 million a year. PSP is delivered in partnership between the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade and the Australian sporting organisation selected through competitive grants process. A new ASIP Pacific program will deliver stronger development outcomes through the partnerships and will strengthen Australia's influence and reputation and relationship to support its foreign policy objectives in the region. One Netball Pacific, delivered by Netball Australia, aims to build the capacity of Pacific netball federations deliver netball programs that increase the access of women and girls to participate in physical activity while improving their physical and mental well-being and provide leadership opportunities. Netball showcases female leaders to influence and change in gender norms in traditional patriarchal societies. These include the Kau Mai Tonga campaign, which challenges community attitudes towards and champions benefits of women being active. The actual description of the Tonga diet, I've had people go out to Tonga and they just love mayonnaise and potatoes. Okay, benefits to the sports sector include the following 4 points. Okay. It's interesting to see the number of points. It's 4 and 8 beneath. 4 points, providing more frequent exposure of elite level competition to for Australia's best athletes in a home ground environment. Building capability and capacity within sporting. That doesn't make sense to me in terms of what does that mean? Sports 2030, it really, really has to, you know, should have a set of basic questions to get your theme right on this. Building capability and capacity within sporting organisations across events and volunteer management as well as marketing and promotion. Such investment will turn, allow sports to more effectively deliver territory and state and national events into the future. Improving sport infrastructure. Okay, providing targeted opportunities to focus participation and legacy programs to leverage the heart and awareness of positive attitudes towards major events. God, the Australian government recognises that a strategic and a coordinated approach to bidding and hosting is required in order to realise and maximise the benefits. To achieve these benefits and maintain our outstanding reputation, the Australian government on a case-by-case basis will continue to support hosting of major sporting events in consultation with state and territory governments and support physical activity organisations. This is getting a bit flaky. Governments have an obligation to seek tangible returns for investing both attracting and staging major international sports. Australian states and territories. These returns are measured across a broad range of economic, community, social benefits, including, and these are the things, tourism, international, interstate, trade, both direct and indirect business activity, employment, event organisers, commercial partners, service providers, infrastructure, legacy benefits of new and improved stadiums, sporting, transport and public facilities, gender equality in both sports. Okay, so benefit. Communities. Uniting people, strengthening local communities, instilling national pride. Stuff like the old bread and circuses. Participation, creating role models to motivate and inspire children. Diplomacy, leveraging Australia's sporting prowess and egalitarian sense of a fair go to forge new people-to-people links in Australia's national interests. It sounds a bit like... It's time that the US have been treated unfairly. That's an unfair deal. The Australian government will continue to be supportive of major events in collaboration with Australia's national sporting organisation, the international governing bodies, states and territory governments and local organising communities. Page 58. What will the Australian government prioritise to support the sports industry? Sports industry growth. As we move further into the 21st century. Good on you. I'm moving this with you, mate. Sport can play a key role in helping Australia transition to a smart, high-value, export-focused nation. Australian government recognises that industry is best placed to drive cultural change and overcome barriers to innovation and productivity growth. Okay, again, doesn't make sense to me. The Australian government is keen to work with sports industry to identify and unlock further opportunities and growth through the development of sports industry strategy. Such strategy could identify opportunities and overcome challenges facing the sectors could include the initiative of the industry to, 4 points again, increase collaboration and commercialization, improve international opportunities and market access, engage management and workforce skills, and identify opportunities of regulatory reform. The sports industry strategy, quote here called the strategy, would highlight existing partnerships across the sector and further opportunities for collaboration and would identify challenges and opportunities facing the sectors and put forward actions to meet challenges and capitalize on opportunities. That actually is such a long sentence, it actually doesn't say very much. The strategy would capture response to local and international developments in the sector. The strategy will be developed in consultation, so we don't have the strategy, but it's going to be developed in consultation with stakeholders and provide strategic direction to focus collaborative business, research, education and government sectors efforts. I have to read that sentence again because it's a beauty. Let's read it again. The strategy will be developed in consultation with stakeholders to provide strategic direction to focus collaborative business, research, education and government sector efforts. All levels of government could draw on the insights and strategies described in the plan to improve and target relevant industry and innovation programs, inform policy and assure the regulation is streamlined and fit for purpose. So let's read that one sentence again. All levels of government could draw on the insights and strategies described in the plan that they haven't done yet, because it will be developed, to improve and target relevant industry and innovation programs, inform policy and ensure that regulation is streamlined and fit for purpose. That is a classic. What the heck does that mean? I know what it means, but it's actually really saying extremely little. That's made, and we've paid as taxpayers for this. The Australian government will prioritise opportunities to grow the sports industry through the sports industry strategy, the strategy will be developed. Okay, the sports industry strategy would highlight, it hasn't been done. That's ultimate in spin. It's really dumb spin. But the thing is that you bury it on page 59 of an 80-page document and just give them piles and piles of gravel, then throw them off the scent with AIS's guinea in the neck. But it's obviously been gutted years ago, AIS. Australian sport diplomacy. Australia's reputation, I surely have not read this page before. No? Okay. Australian sports diplomacy. Australia's reputation as a high-performing sporting nation and for hosting successful major sporting events has showcased our sporting expertise, culture and way of life. Australia's expertise in sporting science and world-class status for performance innovation provides opportunities to build our international reputation to capitalize on export markets. Combined with other activities, sport can be used to help address development priorities across the United Nations 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Agreement. This includes helping to address primary risk factors associated with current conditions such as promoting conditions and to promoting gender equality, disability inclusion and social cohesion. Current sport diplomacy strategy 2015-18 helps to focus our efforts in areas which we have comparative advantage and have delivered some strong returns for Australia. The Australian government recognises that new strategies will capitalise on success and position us to respond to new challenges and opportunities to the region. A new strategy will be informed by soft power review that the Australian government, that Australia continues to build its soft power and influence. Yeah, I just wouldn't use a soft power review. Here it is. The Australian government will renew the Australian sports diplomacy strategy. Elite athletes and teams play an important role in representing the country in their green and gold and international sporting events. It is important to ensure that the national sporting organisations are best placed to adequately assist their athletes, not only in performing their highest level on the world stage, but they are also able to do it in a safe environment. Sports Australia will work with national sporting organisations to determine gaps in preparing for international sporting events and will work to address for concerns around risk management for these events. I'm just reading this again. So they will work with them and help them determine a gap in their preparation. That's under sports diplomacy. I can't work this out. Coordinated delivery of international events. When the Australian government invests in major events, it is expected appropriate government models be established, recognising the level of government contribution and requirement of oversight and accountability. Event proponents, including national sporting organisations and non-national sporting organisations, should approach the Australian government to assess the scope of involvement, including financial or in-kind support likely to be forthcoming, before taking a decision to express interest or submit a formal bid to host a major event in Australia. So how do they approach? Who do they approach? That sounds wrought with insider trading, i.e., I'll approach you, get some inside information how I can put money into your electorate. Working together with national and sporting organisations and collaborating with state and territory governments, the Australian government will, and these are 4 points again, it always seems to be 4 points or eight, support, and it's also always a 4 point program. I think this is just outside people's cognitive load of three or two. Four seems a great thing. So, support national sporting organisations to undertake strategic analysis and plan for major events as part of their long-term business planning for the growth of and sustenance of their sports in Australia. Provide a guided pathway for national sporting organisations to engage with government agencies involved in providing in-kind or cost-recovered services to support major events. Actively look for opportunities to partner with national sporting organisations to successfully bid and host major international events assessed to return adequate benefits to Australia, its people and businesses, communities, and ensure cost implications are well understood by both proponent national sporting organisation and Australian government before bidding or winning the rights to host a major event in Australia. The Australian government will work with states and territories and national sporting organisations to strengthen the coordination of bids and the delivery of major sporting events. A modern and viable digital sports sector. Like all areas of the economy, digital technology is driving rapid change is driving rapid change and exciting new business opportunities in sports. I would say no exception. Banks now have online lenders who can do in seconds what previously took days. Online shopping has changed our habits from buying houses to groceries and holidays. Our university courses are now accessible anywhere, and doctors can be assessed, diagnosed, prescribed treatment to people who are sitting half a world away. Well, hopefully you're not, because you'll be outside Australia. Australia's only a third of the distance around the world. People can immediately access music, films, news, medical information, whatever, however, whenever they want. There's a widening digital divide between the expectation of sport customers and the capabilities of sporting organisations to meet these expectations. People find it hard to do business with sports in the same way they now do business with the bank, retail and government, or an airline. People have more entertainment options and are physically located in their own geographic area, and sports are increasingly fighting for less recreation time than ever before. Australia needs to motivate more people to engage in sport more often. In order to do that, we'll have to enable sports to be digitally ready and willing and able. The Australian Government is committed to digitally connecting the Australian sports sector to streamline sports delivery and operations, share knowledge and drive performance and efficiency to make interactions with sports simpler for all current potential participants. Sport Australia will prioritise opportunities to support and lead the transition to a digitally connected Australian sports sector, ensuring that it is investing in digital capability that leads to an improved sharing of information and data, systems and a process to help sports specifically. I just look all the scouts, everything is online. There's care map. Okay, I don't know where they're going with this. All the registration for soccer, everything is done online. Every payment's done online. I don't know what they're talking about. They help sport to modernise their digital assistance and offering through expert support. Transform sports into customer-focused businesses that are constantly improving the user experience. Oh my godfather. Work with sports to partner with technology providers to emulate platforms and online communities that allow people to engage with sports wherever they are. Yeah, I think there could be some use in that. Sort of like a digital passport. It's like you go into a new city and you can play, well, I don't know. Workforce capability. There are around 3.2 million people involved in non-playing roles in organised sports and physical activities. There are approximately 1.5 million who identify themselves as coaches, instructors, teachers of sport. So that's in our population of 25 million. That's an awful lot of people. Coaches in the fact, so that's five, one in ten people is a coach. Now, that's actually more than that because you've got sick people, children. Coaches are the face of community sports programs, and their interaction with the participants is likely to influence the short and long-term participation and outcomes. There are intellectual coaches, people with gentle integrity, and you've got other people who are just they haven't made the transition from playing the sport. Coaches not only work with participants, they also engage with parents, families, communities to create a positive environment. Coaches can serve as a powerful role model because of their leadership position, both in the sport and their daily work environments. Like many sectors of society, sport and physical activity sectors faces challenges when it comes to addressing the lack of diversity. Sport is and should continue to be a powerful tool of inclusion. The 2017 Eleni Guilfoyle was the first female field umpire to make her AFL debut. Sport should be inclusive to all Australians regardless of gender, ethnicity and age. We need to ensure the right steps are taken to foster development, particularly for coaches and administrators and officials. Well, this is... Behind the scenes, sports and sporting organisations need to reflect the diversity of our Australian community and provide opportunities for all people. While the situation has improved in recent years, there's still more to be done in both support for diversity of boards and ongoing professional development to support those numbers increase. Quote, the Australian government will prioritise increasing the diversity of the workforce in all roles across the sports sectors, particularly for coaches, officials and administrators. Weakness. Okay. Data, evidence and insights. Sound planning about physical activity policy and future investment needs to be informed by quality data. AusPlay, through Sport Australia, will remain the centrepiece of measuring physical activity at national and population level. AusPlay will continue to generate the data needed to understand how much Australians are moving and their motives for getting physical activity to help sports and governments make better strategic decisions. A research agenda that supports the implementation of ongoing monitoring of sports physical activity and health and outcomes will be prioritised by Sports Australia. Increased philanthropic revenue and financial sustainability of sports. In 2017-18, more than $44 million was raised through the Australian Sports Foundation to support individual athletes and sports delivery programs. However, this was a small piece of the Australian philanthropy market, which is estimated at $12 billion in 2016. The Australian government will work with the national sports to enhance the approach of the philanthropic foundations based on health, education, community and high performance outcomes that provides. So, I just, again, dividing the Australian population into that. Possible. The Sports Foundation already has a unique tax deductible status to raise money to develop Australian sports at all levels. From the smallest grassroots clubs through schools and community organisations to elite levels, but more is needed to boost the sustainability of many organisations to assure Australian sports sector remains strong and diverse. To bolster the financial sustainability of sporting organisations throughout the nation, the Australian government is enhancing the role of Australian Sports Foundation by increasing its reach to attract greater philanthropic donations. How do you do that? New arrangements announced in May 2018 will help the Sports Foundation to pursue the strategy of growing the community philanthropic donations between $200 million and $300 million within 10 years, with the first key milestone being to raise at least $100 million by the year, $20 million a year by 2021, targets which are comparable with what the arts receive annually from philanthropic donations. Gosh, I know it's going to be sad if we start putting more money into the footy. Sports Australia and Sport Foundation is committed to reducing the number of national sporting organisations that are more than 60% reliant on Australian government funding by increasing the number of private sector partnership and national sporting organisations by 50%, by 25%, by increasing the number of private sector partnerships in national sporting organisations by 50% by 2025 and another 50% by 2030. Do we understand what they're saying? They're basically getting out of funding sport directly, which is, I suppose, good use of the so as one of these targets and monitoring. Hopefully we're coming to the end of this, my friends. Targets and monitoring. The key to success of sports 2030 are broad, long-term targets which reflect the vision for each of the plan's strategic priorities. Success will be achieved by key stakeholders working together to specifically drive delivery across wider sports and physical activity sectors, specifically setting clearer goals, a stronger evaluation plan, ongoing monitoring of outcomes, sharing data, and conducting timely reviews. Goals. More Australians, more active more often. National pride, inspiration and motivation through international sporting success. Fair, safe and strong sports sector. A thriving Australian sports and recreation industry and contemporary government structures. World-leading research and innovation, strong economic investment, hosting global events and facilitating Australia's international interests. Sports Australia will establish specific targets and program guidelines in order to ensure delivery of sports 2030. Targets. These are the targets. Participation. By 2030, 15% more Australians participating in at least 150 minutes of moderate vigorous exercise each week. High performance. Sports Australia will develop a measurement of sporting excellence and success in line with sports 2030. Okay, that was the entire targets and targets and monitoring. That was it. Consultation process. Now, this is interesting. Sports 2030 is informed by a comprehensive consultation process involving key. Was informed. Okay, now that's the policy. Now you're going to be told how it's done. A survey of community perceptions. Forums were held in each capital city, public submissions were made, and online public perception surveys were conducted. In all, 14 forums totaling 500 people. So that's, 30 people ago. What's it? 1.5 times, 30 people. And these included 9 sports sector forums, mostly held in conjunction with state and territory departments of sport and recreation, 3 national sporting organisation forums, a preventative health forum, and a sports leader forum. A total of 433 submissions was received. Sports clubs were the main respondents, followed closely by members of the public. A total 3,541 members of public took part in the community perception survey. Oh, wow, okay. That's different components, etc. Sports Australia conducted a national consultation. It engaged in consultancy firm Ubis, which facilitated the most forums and analysed all submissions. I must admit, when our Blue Mountains government organised a forum to close our local cinema, I was able to just ask who's paying for you, and they wouldn't tell. And people just walked out. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. Participation in the forum. Sports role in schools remains the biggest challenge to driving participation. Sports participants raised the issue of upskilling teachers to better enable them to teach sports and physical activities. Sporting schools programs was praised as an effective means of addressing some part gaps. 3 barriers to participation were consistently identified throughout the consultation. Affordability, overemphasis on competition over other motivations, such as socializing and stereotypes regarding sports. Infrastructure was noted as a key enabler for sports. Investment in high performance sports was seen as important, though not as important as supporting community. Well, you think that would come out the front. You think you'd say, look, guys, this is what we're going to do. In summary, this is what we consulted and this is what we're doing. We're listening to you, the Australian people. Prevention. This is the thing. Some people questioned whether preventative health should be seen as a core business of Australian sport. Yeah, I say so. A strong call across the sector to invest in public awareness strategy regarding a full spectrum of benefits of sports and physical activity, including physical and mental health, as well as social community benefits. For sport to play a role in promoting good health and preventing chronic conditions, greater collaboration across relevant government departments is required. A sports organisation needs greater support to productive contributions. The entire thing is that I think if you have, you know, I think it's upside down. Why, we don't know. Performance. People recognise that benefits in medical tally success in terms of civic pride and resulting funding sponsorship. However, stories of excellence are considered a greater indicator of success than medal tallies. Targeted investment in a limited amount of high-performance sports was highly contested. So I'm saying you're doing the wrong thing, mate. Participants were clear that high-performance funding should be equitable for sports people with disability and female athletes. Integrity. Why not just set for every dollar, we put $1 a man, $1 on a woman, and then $1 on a man or woman with a disability. You know, let's make it like that. Community level integrity issues were a primary focus with good governance seen as a requisite for safe and fair sport. So the basic way you have governance, the people checking the books, like you have the person checking the till is not the person taking the money. It's sort of a fundamental thing. Information and awareness was seen as essential possibility using the active education approach to ensure sports at all levels were incorporating sound and fair values, including peer education and effective role modelling. Feedback all included that perhaps it was necessary to move beyond voluntary codes of conduct with greater sanctions of sports integrity breaches or establishment of a sector-wide integrity body similar to the ASADA, but with a broader remit. For more information on the National Sports Plan consultation process, refer to the Urbist report, which can be downloaded at sports.gov. Well, thank you. Oh. That's the end of the report. So that's another hour. That's done it there. I will put this in and download it. One of the things is that one of the interesting things is that it looks as though they largely ignored the consultation coming through. That's my overall view, and I'm a bit shell shocked. What I was going to say is the diplomacy aspect of it and the funding of it seems an incredibly rubbery thing, and it just means that people who question it will be quietly pushed out. People who are asking things will be quietly, we don't want you here. We had a meeting without you. I'll just continue reading. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. How you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.